We are in chapter 29 in Perek Chavtes on page 74 or 132. We just learned that one of the things that the Beinoni does in order to break the hold that the animal soul has that prevents the godly soul from reaching the heart and from affecting the heart, which is a condition known as Timtum Halev, one of the things that he does is that he raises his voice in anger, in his mind, against his animal soul, and condemns the animal soul for blocking and denying an obvious truth that is visible to the eyes, and that is that there is nothing besides God. How is it that this truth is visible to the eyes? So the Rebbe begins saying on the top of page 74 that by doing this, by deflating and diminishing the arrogance of the animal soul, simply by screaming at it, by calling it names, by condemning it, this gives the godly soul an additional insight into the oneness of God beyond what it knows and what it believes and what it understands about the oneness of God by its nature. And how is that? So the Rebbe says four lines from the top on page 74. V'hatam, and the reason that this is so, that by screaming at the animal soul, it deflates it and diminishes it and it loses its hold and its grip on the Beinoni, it's because l'fisha be'emes, because in truth, ein shum mamoshes klal b'sitra achra, there is no real substance at all to the unholiness. And this is why it's been compared to darkness. The klipa is compared to darkness. Just as darkness has no substance at all. And therefore it automatically is displaced by the light. It's not that the light has to chase it out or struggle or wrestle with the darkness to dispel the darkness, but as soon as the light is introduced, the darkness disappears, and that's because the darkness has no substance at all. The same is true also of the unholiness. Although it gives energy, it must have a lot of energy, and since it gives life to all the unclean animals, the nafshes umesoilom, and to the souls of non-Jews, the gam nefesh habahamish b'Yisrael, and even the animal soul of the Jew, as we learned earlier, gets its life from klipa. Only it's from a klipa that is redeemable. It's klipas noiga, but from klipa. So klipa seems to have a lot of energy and a lot of life, and here we're saying that it has no substance at all. Mikol mokeim, in spite of all of this, hare kol chayusa eina mitzadats machas v'sholem, but the truth is that all of this life that it has and gives is not, God forbid, its own. It doesn't have it by its own, by itself. Ela mitzad hagdusha kenal, it gets its life only from holiness. The holiness is blocked and filtered and concealed and hidden from the klipa, but even so, all of its life and all of its existence comes only from holiness. And that's why it becomes completely nullified in the presence of holiness, just as light is as darkness is dispelled by physical light without any resistance at all. So why is it that by raising your voice against the animal soul and condemning it and calling it all sorts of names, it falls away and loses its hold and its grip that had previously blocked out the light of the godly soul? It's because even all along, it never really had any substance to begin with. Rak shalagabik dushas nefesh olikis. It's only that in contrast or in opposition to the godly soul, sheba adam, which is in the person, in the beinoni, no san lo hakadosh baruch hu reshus, this klipa, this unholiness that has no substance or truth to it at all, was given permission by God in reference to the godly soul in a person, the yecheles and ability lahagbia atzma kenegda, that the animal soul, the klipa, has permission and the ability to rise up against, to raise itself up against the godly soul. In order that the person should be aroused and motivated to overcome the unholiness, the ungodliness, lahashpila, to reduce the klipa, al yedei shiflus unemichas ruche, by diminishing and reducing himself, humbling himself, the nivze be'en of nimos, and by this becoming embarrassed and disgusted with himself, as we said earlier, that this deflates and diminishes the animal soul. What is the purpose of giving klipa that has no real substance at all the permission and the ability to rise up against the godly soul in order to arouse the person to fight back and to overcome the klipa and to reduce it and diminish it? The purpose is that when we do this here below, when there's an arousal and awakening here below, when we become determined to reduce the klipa, this causes an awakening and arousal above, to fulfill what is written, that God says, I will bring the klipa down from its height and from its arrogance. But when does God do this? When we first do this below on our own initiative. Which means that above, in heaven, God removes this power and this ability that he had given to the klipa, he removes from it the ability and the permission that had earlier been given to the klipa, lahagbia atzma neged kedushas nefesh olikis, which was the ability and the permission to rise up against the godly soul. This is taken away, va'azai memele b'teilo v'nitchis, and then automatically it becomes nullified and dispelled, kibitl hacheshech mepneir hagashmi, as darkness is dispelled by the presence of physical light. Which means that we have a complete cycle. The klipa, to begin with, has no substance at all. But God gives it the permission and the ability to block the godly soul's light, even though it has no substance. But in spite of its lack of substance, it is given the ability to appear to be substantial. So much so that it can block out the light of the godly soul. Then the Beinoni is moved and aroused to fight back, to overcome this apparent darkness, and to diminish and reduce the unholiness back to its natural, insubstantial reality. And when we do this, then God removes from the klipa the ability and the permission to block out the godly soul, so that it is left with only its own substance, which is non-existent, and then it is automatically and effortlessly dispelled by the Beinoni when he introduces godliness into his life. When the godly soul gets to see with its own eyes, so to speak, how the ungodliness, which appeared a moment ago to be so serious and so heavy and so real that it completely blocked out the light of the godly soul, and then a moment later it is completely diminished, deflated, and nullified simply by screaming at it and by calling it names, the godly soul gets to see with its own eyes how there is nothing besides God. That this apparent pleasure and urgency and need that the animal soul insisted on a moment ago with an arrogance and with a chutzpah is suddenly gone as if it never was. Because in truth, it never had any substance to it at all, because there is only one reality, and that is godliness, and therefore there's only one pleasure, and that is the pleasure of godliness. Now the Rebbe takes this a step further. The Beinoni is bothered by Timtum Halev. He thinks about all the right things, his faith is in all the right things, he is connected to God in his mind and in his faith and in his neshama, but he can't get all this good stuff through to the heart, and the heart doesn't respond. And the solution is the brokenheartedness, which breaks the arrogance of the animal soul, and then the godly soul comes back into power. Here the Rebbe says that the same thing is true on an even lower level, where the klipa is even worse, apparently. Even there, simply screaming at it dispels it like light dispels darkness. As we find this whole notion spelled out clearly in Teiro, Gabi Meraglim, by the story of the spies. The spies that Moshe sent into Israel, when they came back, and they gave a very negative report. Shemitchila Amru, that in the beginning they said, Ki chazak hu mimenu, that they are stronger than us. And the Gemara says, Al tikre mimenu, don't read it stronger than us, read it stronger than him. Meaning to say God. Shalei haminu b'yecheles Hashem, which means that they didn't believe in God's ability to give them the land of Canaan. V'achakach, and then the Torah tells us that chozru v'yomru, they came back and they said, hinenu v'olinu, here we are ready to go up and battle. They were ready to go take Israel. So the question is, me'ayin chozru bo'olohem ho'emunah b'yecheles Hashem. The question is, from where did they get this renewed faith in God's ability? They insisted that they don't believe that God can do this, that God can capture the land and give it to them, and then later on in the story, they're suddenly ready to go. Where did they get this faith from? Harei lo'hero lehem Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'sholem shum esu mefes al zeh ben etayim. We don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu showed them any sign or any miracles concerning this ability of God's in between the time that they insisted that they don't believe it to the time when they said that they were ready to go up. So there was nothing that happened that would give them this new faith or bring to them this new faith. Raksha amalahem, the only thing that transpired was that Moshe said to them, Eich shekot zav Hashem aleihem, how God had gotten angry at them. V'nishba shalei lahaviyim el ha'oretz, and that God had sworn not to bring them to the land. And this somehow made them decide to go. So the question is, ma ha'il zeh lohem, how had this helped them? How could this help them, im loy hayu ma'aminim b'yecheles Hashem chas v'cholim, if they, God forbid, had not believed in God's ability, lichbeish lamed aleph melochim, to capture and subdue the 31 kings who lived and ruled in the land at the time. U'mipnei zeh leiratzu klal likoneis la'aretz, and it was because of this lack of faith that they refused to go into the land and to try to battle with these kings. So what good did it do for Moshe to come along and say that God was angry at them and will not take them to the land? They didn't believe that he could in the first place. And yet, after Moshe told them that God was angry and that he would not take them into the land, they suddenly decided that they believe in his ability and they're ready to go. Ela vadai. So we see clearly that mipnei, the reason that this worked, is she Yisrael atzmon he ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. That essentially a Jew is a believer and the descendant of a believer. A Jew by nature has no problem with faith in God. It's only that at times the unholiness that is clothed within their body rose up against the light of their godly soul, with a totally irrational arrogance, because it really has no substance at all. And yet it takes on the godly soul. It's a completely irrational chutzpah, and velochein, and that's also why miyad shekotzav Hashem aleihem, that as soon as God got angry at them, vehirim b'kel rash v'regez, and he shouted at them angrily, admos aleido haro hazeis, how long, God says, how long will I bear this evil congregation? So he called them evil, and also he said, "Bamidbar hazeh yiplu pegrechem, that you will all die out in the desert." Ani Hashem debarti im loizeis esel lechol ha'edo haro hazeis. So again, God refers to them as a wicked congregation. Kishesham udvarim koshim elu. So when they heard these harsh words, nichnavin nishbar libam bekirbam. So their heart was subdued and broken within them, as we were saying earlier in the chapter, brokenheartedness means the breaking of the spirit of the klipa, kidachsiv, as it says concerning the people at that time, vayisablu ha'om me'ed, that the people were very saddened, they mourned because of these harsh words, and this brokenheartedness broke the spirit of the klipa. So automatically the klipa fell away from its hold on the godly soul and from its arrogance with which it rose up against the godly soul, and what was left is the Jew without interference from the klipa, the Yisrael Atzmon, and Jews themselves without interference, hey ma'aminim, are by nature believers. And so it wasn't a new faith that the Jews gained somehow between the time that they said that they didn't believe in God's abilities to the time that they said that they were ready to go. It wasn't a new faith. It was a faith they always had, which a Jew always has. It's just that in between, the Yetzirah somehow was able to rise up against the godly soul and block out this faith that every Jew has, and by screaming at it, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that a Jew is essentially a believer, and he knew that he didn't have to prove to them that God is capable, and he knew that he didn't have to argue with them about God's abilities. What he had to do was simply bring them back to their senses, to their Jewish senses, and that happened automatically when you scream at the Yetzirah and you deflate its arrogance, and it leaves its hold on the Jew, then the Jew himself, without interference from his Yetzirah, has his faith. Doesn't need to be given faith, but has it by his very nature. And this is even a worse klipa than the one we were talking about before in the Beinoni. By the Beinoni, his faith was never challenged, and his commitment was never challenged. It was only a question of being excited in the heart about godliness. But here we're talking about a klipa that has fallen so low that it actually denies God's ability or faith in God in the first place. And even so, when Moshe told them that God was angry at them and called them wicked, they were sobered, and the Yetzirah fell away, and what was left was the natural Jew. And and from this every person can learn. That when thoughts of doubt in faith occur to a person, we can learn from this story that these doubts are not the true thoughts of the person. This is not where a Jew is at with his doubts, but rather these are words coming from the animal soul, from the klipa, hamagbia atzmal nafshe, that is rising up against the godly soul. So it's only the words of the klipa, it's not even the belief of the klipa, as the Rebbe will soon say. Aval yisrael atzmon, but the Jew himself, heima'aminim, has a faith and doesn't need to gain that faith. It's just that most people, when they say that they don't believe in God, or when they're thinking that they don't believe in God, what they really mean is that they don't understand God, or that they don't know Him. They can't know Him. But to confuse knowledge with faith is a mistake. Not knowing is one thing, having faith is another. When a person feels that he doesn't have faith, and he really means faith, not knowledge, then he has to know that these are words coming from an unholy place, because it's not true to life that a Jew can be without faith. In fact, gam hasitra achra atzmo, even the animal soul, even the klipa itself, ein lo sveikes klal be'emuna, has no doubts about faith in God. Rak shenitin lo rishus leval vel ha'adom. Why then would the Yetzirah or the Klipa suggest doubt to the person when it itself doesn't doubt? It's just that it was given permission to confuse the person, the divrei sheker mirmo, with false words and dishonestly. In other words, it is lying even about itself. When the Yetzirah says that it doesn't believe in God, it's lying about itself. And the reason for this permission that the Yetzirah has is lahar b'schare, to increase the merit and the deservingness of the person who fights off these distracting thoughts. Kipituya hazeino leben hamelo b'sheker mimo, just like the temptations of the harlot who tries to seduce the prince with falseness and with untruths, with permission from the king, as the Zeir HaKodesh gives the example, that in order to bring out the strength and virtue of the prince, the king gives permission to a woman to tempt the prince by appearing to be a harlot. But in fact, she isn't, and her intention is not to make him sin. Her intention is the same intention as the king's, to test, not to ruin. So that even while the Yetzirah is suggesting thoughts of heresy and of doubt in God, the Yetzirah itself has no such thoughts and has no doubts in God. And so the solution to freeing oneself of Timtum Halev also turns out to be a deeper experience of God's oneness, by experiencing and seeing with your own eyes how the klipa that appears to be so substantial and so real that it can actually contradict the godly soul turns out to be unreal and insubstantial and falls apart simply by being exposed for what it is, and that is a lie. In the Hayyim Yom, for the second day of Adar, in the Hayyim Yom it's Adar Rishon, Adar Aleph, the Rebbe brings that Rabbeinu HaGadol, the Alter Rebbe, presented and set out for Anash, for Hasidim, the Aveda of serving with the mind, with the Mayach, to seek constantly the truth in everything, to weigh every act to see whether it is consistent with the truth, and this truthfulness and this honesty in our behavior is arrived at through Aveda. Now, Aveda is not what some people think, and they make a complete and utter mistake by believing that Aveda necessitates uprooting mountains or shattering boulders, turning the world over. The utter truth is that every Aveda and every act, whatever it may be, if it is done with kavana, with true kavana, it is enough and sufficient. Example, a bracha said with proper kavana, a word of davening said the way it should be said, with a proper preparation of the heart, and with a knowledge before whom we stand in davening. Learning a pasuk chumash with the knowledge that this is the word of God, or a pasuk of tilim. And good character traits, a good deed to bring to get closer to a friend with true love and true affection, this is Aveda. Now, it's true that in order to reach this level of sincerity, you have to work very hard. Poshut ledenin aribu yom feshtein. It means simply to learn a lot and to understand what you're learning, each person according to his level. But then God helps and we become truthful.